From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says job creation law to facilitate structural reform of micro, small, and medium enterprises. Indonesian Tourism Ministry to start disbursing relief grant to 101 cities and regions next month. Director General of WHO warns of politicizations of COVID-19 pandemic. Now the news in details. The job creation law will usher in structural reform of micro, small, and medium enterprises, MSMEs, to streamline the way their businesses are run. As reported by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo stated in a video statement at the SMSE's Kumparan Festival in Jakarta on Monday that in the last 6 years, the government has continued to conduct structural reforms to improve the ease of doing business for MSMEs, including through the job creation law. The president remarked that the job creation law would ease the process of opening new businesses for MSMEs entrepreneurs. Business licensing for micro and small-scale enterprises or SMEs is no longer necessary, though solely necessitating them to go for registration. The head of state is keen to witness rapid development of MSMEs businesses, including those owned by the millennial generation, since it would lead to greater job creation. To this end, it is crucial to ensure that the business ecosystem for MSME sector is conducive. The Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Ministry plans to start disbursing 3.3 trillion rupiah, or about $224 million, in relief grants to 101 selected cities and regions in November. As quoted by JakartaPost.com on Monday, Ministry's crisis management expert Henki Manurung stated that the grant is intended to help recover the coronavirus-battered tourist industry. 70% of the grants would be dispersed to individual businesses, while the remaining 30% would be given to local administration. He added the eligibility of hotels and restaurants would be determined according to the 2019 hotel and restaurants tax data at local administration. Eka Mulyana, member of the mitigation team for the Indonesian Medical Association, IDI, has said, the association has recorded a growing number of COVID-19 fatalities among healthcare workers over the last few months since the pandemic began. As reported by JakartaPost.com on Monday, as of Sunday, the ED has seen a total of 253 lives of healthcare workers taken by the coronavirus. Eka Mulyana also stated, in more than 6 months since the pandemic started, the number of deaths among health workers keeps increasing and is becoming more concerning. He said the deceased health workers consisted of 141 doctors, 9 dentists, and 103 nurses. 50 of the 3 doctors were general physicians, 64 were specialists, and 18 were residents from 18 provinces and 66 cities of regencies all across Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Syahrul Yassin Limpo has outlined 7 strategies to anticipate and mitigate the impact of the La Nina weather phenomenon, which can trigger flooding on agricultural land. The first strategy involves mapping flood-prone areas, the minister said during a press conference in Jakarta on Monday. As reported by Antara News Agency, Limpo explained that the peak of the La Nina phenomenon will lie in December 2020 to January 2021. He said the impact of the climate anomaly will be an increase in accumulated monthly rainfall of between 20% and 40% above normal in Indonesia. He noted high-intensity rainfall could in turn trigger floods and landslides. The Agriculture Ministry's second strategy for dealing with La Nina involves early warning through monitoring of weather reports emerging from the BMKG or Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysic Agency so that it can take anticipatory measures. The third strategy is setting up a standby disaster brigade in each province and district. The minister said adding the fourth strategy is help pump water out of paddy fields and rehabilitate tertiary networks, especially in flood-prone areas. The fifth is using flood-tolerant seeds that are resistant to puddles, such as in Para 1 to 10, in Para 29, in Para 30, the local superior varieties. These six steps will be providing insurance for rice farming and free seed assistance to farmers whose crops are damaged due to a natural disaster. Finally, he said the Ministry of Agriculture will optimize post-harvest activities by employing dryers. He ordered local agricultural officers to prepare dryers and rice milling units for the purpose. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Turkish leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan asked his compatriots to stop buying French goods on Monday in the latest expression of anger in the Muslim world over images being displayed in French of the Prophet Muhammad, which some Muslims consider blasphemous. As reported by Reuters.com on Monday in Bangladesh, protesters held placards with a caricature of French President Emmanuel Macron and the words "Macron is the enemy of peace," while Pakistan's parliament passed a resolution urging the government to recall its envoy from Paris. Erdogan, who has a history of fraught relations with Macron, said French was pursuing an anti-Islam agenda. Erdogan's father said that he is calling to all his citizens from here to never help French brands or buy them. The Europe and North America recorded the new case spike and death of COVID-19. The World Health Organization, WHO, on Monday warned that countries in Europe and North America should not count on wonderful solution to control the spread of the coronavirus, but rely on hard work. A lot of European countries reported a spike record led by France, which recorded more than 50,000 daily cases for the first time on Sunday. While for the death toll, the continent passed the 250,000 death thresholds. The European countries contributed 46% of global cases and nearly a third of the deaths. Director General of WHO Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stated there is no magic solution to suppress the transmission of COVID-19.
There aren't magic solutions to this outbreak, just hard work from leaders at all levels of societies, health workers, contact tracers, and individuals.
Tedros reminded state leaders not to politicize the COVID-19 issues. He said the politicization of COVID-19 does not solve the problem of the spread of the virus. Tedros asked the governments and countries in the world to have qualified knowledge. It is so important to break the chain of transmission, conduct extensive testing, isolate and treat people who are infected and track or provide quarantine places for the people who have got contact with infected people.
Where there has been political division at the national level, where there has been blatant disrespect for science and health professionals, confusion has spread and cases and deaths have mounted. This is why I have said repeatedly, stop the politicization of COVID-19. A pandemic is not a political football. Wishful thinking or deliberate diversion will not prevent transmissions or save lives.
Moreover, countries including Italy, Spain, Belgium, and France have tightened the restrictions in recent days in a bid to slow down the number of the spread of virus. The aviation trade body ADS says the futures of the UK is the 35 billion euros aerospace sector is at risk if ministers do not reach a deal with the European Union over the mutual recognition of parts. As quoted by BBC.com on Tuesday, it said a deal would not form parts of any post-Brexit trade deal, despite the sector employing 110,000 people. Currently, the UK is the world's second largest aerospace manufacturer. But ATS said that without agreement, customers would go elsewhere or UK-based businesses choose to relocate. The warning comes as global aircraft orders slowed to nearly zero in September due to a slump in demand caused by the pandemic. According to data from ATS, just 13 aircraft were ordered in the 3 months from July to September. ADS says ministers have not prioritized an agreement over the certification of aerospace companies in their trade negotiation with the European Union, preferring to focus on issues such as fishing rights. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling the COVID-19 vaccine must be explained openly to the public. More and more appeals from various health organizations and experts are asking the government to be careful about the COVID-19 vaccination program. They hope that the government will not rush to give the COVID-19 vaccine to the public. The Indonesian Doctors Association, ED, for example, wrote to Minister of Health Terawan Agus Putranto, to have a good preparation in terms of selection the types of vaccine to be provided and preparation for their implementation. The same request was also issued by the Indonesian Lung Doctors Association. The appeals have been voiced as the time for the COVID-19 vaccination approaches. The government plans to start giving the vaccine in November 2020. However, it seems that the implementation of the plan must be postponed. Regarding the appeals for the government not to rush to give the COVID-19 vaccine to the public, President Joko Widodo explained in a limited meeting of the Vaccination Procurement and Implementation Plan at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. He said that the government is moving fast in procuring the COVID-19 virus vaccine, because all countries are competing to get this vaccine as quickly as possible. Even so, President Joko Widodo emphasized that the vaccine will only be injected into the public after going through the correct clinical trial stages. Thus, the vaccine is confirmed to be effective against the COVID-19 virus and is safe and far from side effects. In addition, President Joko Widodo also emphasized that a public communication strategy regarding vaccine must also be well prepared. He assigned the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, BUMN, assisted by the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, to develop this communication strategy. He asked for a comprehensive explanation to the public regarding the benefits of vaccines and a roadmap for the implementation of vaccination, so that there is no disinformation and spread of hoax from various platforms in various existing media. The government is expected to be more intensive in explaining to the public about the COVID-19 vaccine. This is because Indonesia is very large with more than 260 million people. In addition, not all people have easy access to information, especially those who lived in remote areas across Indonesia. People need to know who will get the vaccine first and why. They also need to know the stages of vaccine administration. They need to know who gets the vaccine for free and who has to pay for it. However, the most important point for the public to know is that The vaccine does not automatically eliminate the pandemic. People must continue to be reminded to keep wearing masks, keep their distance, and wash their hands frequently. Until the COVID-19 pandemic has completely shaken away from this human planet, the Earth. That was commentary.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with October 27, 1945, when the Indonesian State Electricity Company is founded. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945, the Japanese-controlled electricity company was seized by Indonesian youth in September 1945, then handed over to the government of the Republic of Indonesia. On October 27, 1945, the Electricity and Gas Bureau was formed by President Sukarno. At that time, the power plant capacity was only 157.5 megawatts. Now, October 27 is celebrated as National Electricity Day. Let's move on to October 27, 1991, when independence of Turkmenistan happened. When the Soviet Union began to collapse, Turkmenistan and the other republics in Central Asia that joined it were worried about the state of their countries. They needed the economic power and the general market of the Soviet Union to prosper then. Eventually, however, Turkmenistan declared its independence from the Soviet Union on October 27, 1991, and was the last Soviet republic to break away. I'll end today in history on October 27, 2007, when National Bloggers Day is established. Indonesian National Blogger Day was first announced by the Minister of Communication and Information, Muhammad Nuh, on October 27, 2007, at the opening of the Blogger Party that year. 4 years later, it was called an Off Indonesia on Off-It event. Since then, it has begun to emphasize the importance of bloggers to be able to manage their blogs more seriously in order to produce something more useful. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
the same. We all feel uncertain, yeah, until we know our fate. Some believe that love's a loser's game, but suddenly all changes, yeah, when you think that you found the one.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world with My Indonesia. Today, entitling Indonesian Defense Minister and French Defense Minister continue to strengthen defense cooperation. Minister of Defense of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto, held a bilateral meeting with his French counterpart, Minister Florence Parly, at the French Ministry of Defense office in Paris, France. Earlier in the January 2020 meeting in Jakarta, both ministers agreed to make a Defense Cooperation Agreement, or DCA. The agreement is to regulate defense cooperation comprehensively, such as cooperation in the fields of education and military training, maritime security, eradication of terrorism, development of the defense industry, and capacity strengthening in disaster mitigation, such as the COVID-19 pandemic. Thereby, both of them requested that the negotiating team is to immediately complete the DCA to be signed at the end of 2020 as part of the 70th anniversary of the diplomatic relation between the two countries. In addition, at this meeting in Paris, both defense ministers also discussed the development of the situation and dynamics of the Indo-Pacific region. France pays special attention to the Indo-Pacific region, considering that apart from owning territories with around 1.6 million people are in the Indo-Pacific region. In this context, both ministers emphasized the importance of continuing to contribute in maintaining the stability and security of the region. As quoted from kemlu.go.id, both ministers specifically discussed the framework for further defense cooperation. They welcomed the progress that had been made in strengthening defense cooperation between the two countries this year, including in efforts to advance Indonesia's defense industry. In the meeting, Minister Prabowo said that he had recorded quite rapid progress from the Indonesia-France strategic partnerships in the defense sectors in this year. He also remarked that Indonesia wants to continue to develop cooperation with France in various defense sectors, including strengthening the main weaponry system of Indonesian Armed Forces TNI and advancing the capacity of Indonesia's defense industry as part of the global production chain. The second meeting of both defense ministers showed the intensification of communication and defense cooperation between the two countries. Meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to France, Arman Atanasir, said that amid the COVID-19 pandemic, which requires various activities to be delayed, Indonesia and French cooperation in the defense sector is getting closer. Not only the intensify of the two defense ministers' communication, but also the activities of the Working Group on Strategic Defense Equipment Cooperation, who have met twice in 2020. The Indonesian-French cooperation in the defense sector has been based on an agreement between the two countries since 2017 through a letter of intent to improve the defense cooperation, including maritime cooperation and maritime security. Every year since 2013, bilateral defense cooperation in several fields such as training and education, mutual visits and the eradication of terrorism has been discussed through the Indonesia-French Defense Dialogue, IFDD. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
From Indonesia. selamat pagi malam. Ku sampaikan cerita akhir petang hari. Denganmu menikmati nada yang kita rangkai bersama. Terjagalah bersamaku selalu sampai nanti, sampai hatiku. Jangan rusak organ dalam bedu. Oh. Terima kasih malam kau. Dari siang setiap hari ku suka, ku nyaman bercumbu berdua denganmu menikmati nada yang kita rangkai bersama.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, For the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Mosok tradition from Lampung. Stay tuned. Listener, with many ethnic groups existing in Indonesia, no wonder Indonesia has a variety of unique cultures. Lampung people of Tulang Bawang, for example, have typical tradition, namely Mosok tradition, which is part of their wedding ceremony. In the local language, Mosok means bribe. The Mosok tradition is included in the Bejuluk Beadok procession. Bejuluk Beadok is the granting of a title to a person who has been determined by mutual agreement of big family with a consideration of status or position in the family. In the local people of Tiyuh Gunung Trang, West Tulang Bawang Regency, Lampung, Mosok tradition is still carried out in the context of giving a customary title to someone who has just married. The Mosok tradition is still held because in the past, Lampung people often conducted sebambangan marriage or eloping. There are various reasons why eloping often occurred at that time. For example, because the parents do not approve the relationship, the man and his family could not fulfill the demand of the women's family, or because the relationship had violated religious boundaries or norms. Therefore, in order to prevent the bride from being forced back by her parents, she is immediately given a title so that the woman is legally part of the man's family and cannot be forced to return home. The Mosok tradition begins with expression of basmalah and praise for the Prophet Muhammad or Shalawat. In this traditional event, it is usually served yellow rice with chicken and various vegetables, plain water, and bitter coffee. Plain water has an important meaning. It means that a husband or wife should always have clear mind and maintain self-purity. Meanwhile, bitter coffee means that the husband or wife should not be jealous each other. After the bride and groom are fed, the bride's foreheads are then knocked using the house key for 7 times. While counting in Lampung language, sai, kua, tigo, sir, limo, enom, pitu, simultaneously, the guests, especially women, shout, sora, e. The next procession is Bejuluk Beadok. It is a procession of awarding titles. The bride is given the title Adok or Adek, while the groom is given the title of Pangeran Dermawan or Generous Prince. Then the bride and groom throw nuts and candies to the guests and invitees. This procession also ended the Mosok tradition. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hajatlah bersama diri ini berbunga, kau buat hatiku indah.
Ku ingin bersamamu arungi cinta berdua selamanya hingga
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is in a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is membeli oleh-oleh, or in English, buying souvenirs. Next, I will give an example in a conversation on membeli oleh-oleh, or in English, buying souvenir. Kevin is buying some souvenirs from Komodo Island for Rama, his roommate.
Permisi, Pak. Saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini?
Oleh-oleh khas Pulau Komodo ada kaos comabe.
Berapa harganya?
Harganya Rp100.000.
Ada potongan harga nggak, Pak?
Ya, jadi Rp90.000 sajalah.
Ini uangnya, Pak. Terima kasih.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, membeli oleh-oleh. Membeli oleh-oleh, which means buying souvenirs. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Membeli oleh-oleh. Membeli oleh-oleh, which means buying souvenirs. Oleh-oleh. Oleh-oleh, which means souvenir. Buah tangan. Buah tangan, which means souvenir. Khas. Khas, which means typical. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya, which means how much is it? Potongan harga atau diskon. Potongan harga atau diskon, which means discount. Uang. Uang, which means money. Maaf, tidak bisa. Maaf, tidak bisa, which means sorry, cannot. Sudah harga pas. Sudah harga pas, which means it's fixed price. 500.000. 500.000, which means 500,000. Permisi. Permisi, which means excuse me. If you want to ask for a souvenir from a merchant, you can use the expression "Saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini?" Saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini? Which means I want to ask, what is the typical souvenir here? The response can be, untuk oleh-oleh khas Pulau Lombok ada kaos comabe. Untuk oleh-oleh khas Pulau Lombok ada kaos comabe, which means for typical souvenirs from Lombok Island, there are comabe shirts. Or you can change the sentence with the following expressions. Permisi, saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini? Permisi, saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini? Which means, excuse me, I want to ask, what are the typical souvenirs here? Or, permisi, souvenir khas di sini apa? Permisi, souvenir khas di sini apa? Which means, excuse me, what is the typical souvenir here? The response can be, oleh-oleh khas di sini ada roti kompiang. Oleh-oleh khas di sini ada roti kompiang, which means the typical souvenir here is kompiang bread. If you want to ask the price, you can also use the expression berapa harganya? Berapa harganya? Which means how much is it? You will get an answer, for example, harganya Rp500.000. Harganya Rp500.000, which means the price is Rp500,000. Usually, the buyer will bid on the price to the merchant using the phrase ada potongan harga? Ada potongan harga? Which means, is there a discount? You can also change the expressions to bisa kurang harganya? Bisa kurang harganya? Which means, could the price be less? Or bisa kurang? Bisa kurang? which means, could it be less? If the price can be less, the seller will answer with, for example, ya, bisa. Jadi, 400 ribu rupiah saja. Ya, bisa. Jadi, 400 ribu rupiah saja. Which means, yes, it can't. It becomes just 400,000 rupiah. But if it cannot be less, usually the seller will say, maaf, tidak bisa. Sudah harga pas. Maaf, tidak bisa. Sudah harga pas. Which means, sorry, no, it's already the right price. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia, let's speak Indonesian today. To more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation one more time.
Permisi Pak, saya mau tanya, apa oleh-oleh khas di sini?
Oleh-oleh khas Pulau Komodo ada kaos comabe.
Berapa harganya?
Harganya 100 ribu rupiah.
Ada potongan harga nggak, Pak?
Ya, jadi 90 ribu rupiah sajalah.
Ini uangnya, Pak. Terima kasih.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll meet again with another different topic. Sampai jumpa!
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Tari Lenggang Sampai Tiaramon. The song Tari Lenggang tells about a trader who wanders from Malacca to Pahang State, Malaysia. The trader hopes a welcome from Pahang people and also praises the peaceful of the country he visits. Lyrics of the song are sung repeatedly in fast tempo by Tiaramon. He's already known and popular in presenting Minang and Malay songs. Let's listen to the song Tari Lenggang by Tiaramon. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.